Welcome, everybody, to the Monster Baby Podcast.
This is a curious romp through the worlds of mindfulness and improvisation.
My name is Lisa Rollins.
Oh, that's cool. My name is Ted DeMaison.
We are your co-hosts, and it's been a minute since we have recorded an episode, so yeah. We're dusting some rust off.
We're dusting some rust off for this hot minute.
We're doing some rust dusting in this in this podcast episode.
Maybe we'll do some busting as well.
But it is a little bit of a check-in.
Yeah, chit-chat check-in, really.
Check-in, catch-up, that sort of thing. So we're clappy you're here for it.
Did you say we're clappy?
We're clappy. We're if really... you're clappy and you know it, hap your hands. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, glad you're with us.
Yeah, clappy you're with us.
And we've just got some musings. It's some simple musings. What's been changing? What's been going on in our lives?
We're chatting.
It's a few stories, but it will be familiar. If you're familiar with us, you'll feel like you're joining right in. If you're not familiar with us...
You'll feel like you're joining right in. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll stir a few cool reflections for yourself on mindfulness and improvisation, but... Let's get into it.
I don't know. We're not in control of that.
No. We're not in control, but we can have an influence.
We'll let you get to it.
All right. Here we go. All right. So this is our first time recording the podcast in your place in San Francisco, the hilly streets of San Francisco.
Welcome, podcast. So,
welcome, people. Welcome back.
Yeah. I know, it's been so long. I love this room. I love this place. So yeah. I'm happy to be doing a podcast here.
Yeah, we got some high ceilings. We got some big windows. We got lots of sunlight.
We got some great plants.
Plants, flowers. We got big trees outside. We got some cats lounging about.
In the morning sun.
In the morning sun. So that's kind of the vibe over here.
And I'm drinking coffee with eggnog in it because it's the holidays.
Okay. Because we're officially past... Halloween.
Yeah, but I was drinking it like before Halloween also.
Pumpkin spice?
No, just eggnog.
Is there such a thing as pumpkin spice eggnog?
I'm certain that Starbucks has come out with pumpkin spice eggnog.
That would really stitch the holidays together. So it's just like what's it called? Hallowgiving Miss Uka Kwanzaa. The whole holiday season. I noticed that Amazon is extending their Black Friday for like 3 weeks.
I know.
Kind of misses the point.
Early access to Black Friday. I'm like, it is November 1st.
Yeah.
It is not. It isn't. This is a little much.
I mean, I'm all for shopping and deals, but
yeah,
doesn't have quite the same urgency as Black Friday used to have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hey, Lisa Rowland. It's been a long time.
Here we are.
I'm curious about in these last several months. What is ground shaking in the world of mindfulness and improvisation in your life or not?
Ground shaking? Well, I was thinking, I mean, maybe we can just do sort of where are we now with improv and mindfulness?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Ground shaking or no? I don't know that my ground has been shaken. But maybe that can be a frame for a little catch-up, because it has been a minute.
It has been a minute, yeah. I'm thinking...
I just paused to say thanks to everybody who's listening. Some of you may have been waiting for a long time for another episode, so I appreciate your listening.
Yeah, it's been... we've known you were there, waiting in the shadows, lurking. So here's your opportunity. Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I like the idea that it might actually not be earth-shaking. I was thinking the frame I was coming in with was like, what has changed since we last spoken?
Yes, and I think that where are we now maybe encompasses what has changed, but it could also be I am in exactly the same place as I once was.
We're getting into technical terms. So, all right, well.
How are you, Ted? What's up?
I'm doing pretty well. I have one delight.
Only one?
Well, at least one.
Okay.
That was created by a podcast listener. I don't know if I've told you about this or not. Do you know about Wordle Haiku? Did I tell you about that?
No.
Okay. So, you know Wordle, though.
Yeah.
So, for listeners who don't know Wordle, it's a word game originally started by some random dude, but purchased by the New York Times. And you have six guesses to guess a five-letter word. And you put your first guess in and you get to know, did you get a letter right? And did you get it in the right place? And if you get it right, yoo-hoo, yeah, sweet. And, you know, usually, like, it's pretty common to get it in four guesses.
And there was a time when everybody and their mother was posting their Wordle results on social media daily.
Yes.
And that weird little thing in my brain made me go, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not in. I don't know what it is. Of course, I would love this game, but I've never picked it up because of that.
Yeah. And I was one of those people for a hot minute. I now post very rarely when it makes a pretty pattern or something.
Yeah.
But the notion is, like, if you get it in two guesses, it's like, wow, that's pretty heroic.
Yeah.
I've never gotten it in one guess.
You get it in one guess, it feels like...
Total luck.
Completely luck.
Yeah.
So it feels like, good job, you guessed the right thing. But, you don't have any,
Yeah. So...
It's not because you're good at this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then every so often, I'll miss it, which is pretty rare, but, so that's the basics of the game, and it's fun. I love it. It shows up every night at midnight, local time, wherever you are, and you get to play. Okay, so I usually feel like if I've gotten into two, wow, great success. Three, good. Four, okay. Five, a little disappointing.
Mm.
Six, whew. So...
Six meaning you missed it.
No, six meaning you got it, but just barely.
Oh, I see. Okay, because you get six guesses. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but so Diana Hart, one of our loyal listeners, came up with this variation or addition, which is so great, called Wordle Haiku, which is if you get the Wordle word in three guesses, you then create a haiku using each of those words in the respective lines of a haiku. So you get five syllables for the first word, to insert the first word, seven for the second word, five for the third.
Oh my God.
And you only get to do the haiku on the days when you guess it in three.
I love that so much.
Yeah. And
Diana, this is brilliant.
It's so brilliant. And we have been sending back and forth, and I've got a couple other friends that I let know about it, and sometimes we'll send back and forth. But Diana and I are pretty religious about checking in. But you have to check in with your partner. Did you guess the Wordle yet today?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, I don't want it to spoil it.
Right.
And some of them are just so funny.
Yeah.
And it also depends greatly on your method of playing Wordle. Because if you play in a way that you're just trying to get the word, make sure you get the word, you might start with the same word every day. Some people play that way.
Right. Like, here's my go-to word. It has vowels and whatever. And
yeah. And it's kind of boring in my book. I much prefer to play improvisationally. Like,
what's up today?
What does my intuition say for today?
Yeah.
And then I go with that word, right? So, it's just this sweet, sweet addition that just adds infinitely to the enjoyment. And we critique each other's, haiku and that particular element was a nice touch. So, can I give you a couple of examples?
I would love to hear some haikus.
Yeah. So, okay. So here was one. The final word was rouse. And I started with jumpy, and my second guess was drunk. So I had jumpy, drunk, rouse.
Okay. Those seem, they tell a story.
Right. So my haiku was, party got jumpy. A few of us got real drunk. Now who will rouse me? Oh, so silly, right? Or here was another one where the end word was whisk.
Okay.
And the first word I started with was viper. Not typically a, in quotation marks, good Wordle guess, viper, V and the P. I had viper, think, and whisk. So I said, want eggs with viper? Give your scramble a good think. You'll need a strong whisk. Okay. And then I mention all this because yesterday was one of my faves. So the end word was trade. And I started with nymph, which was really off the page.
Yeah.
Middle word was great. And I said, if you think a nymph would swap great sex for more moss, you're liking that trade.
Oh my God. Because so, you know, you got a pun in there,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. We mix puns in. We get alliteration. We get multiple syllable words.
So when you... So do you have a... are you and Diana Wordle haiku buddies, or do you have a group... several pair check-ins that you check in with other individuals, or do you like have a little group chat?
No, we... Diana and I are faithful with each other. Uh-huh. I hope that's the right word. Faithful in that we, every day we check in if we have one. I have a few other friends that like to play every now and then. I said, can I send you my haiku?
Yeah.
But I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's so fun. They're funny to read even when you haven't written them.
Really fun to get to come up with them. Yeah. Fun to like build the story around what, that is so fun.
Yeah. So I think it actually, we both have thought that it would make a good little book, like a little bathroom book or coffee table book or ebook or something. So that's new.
Okay, can I tell you my... Can I tell you my latest thing?
Yeah.
Latest, like, as of yesterday.
Okay. Is it a thing yet?
It's a potential thing.
Is it a seedling thing?
It's a seedling.
Thing.
It's a potential thing.
Okay.
So I have I have a great improv class this quarter at Stanford.
Oh, nice.
They're really fun. They're really game. There's a couple of folks with some improv experience, but they're just a really lovely collection of people. And we've got one DCI fellow, which is, he's a mid-career professional who came back to Stanford for a year. He's been a corporate attorney for 30 years, and he's like, I got to get out of my head. So I'm taking an improv class with a bunch of undergraduates. I'm like, I love this. I love it. But there's this one guy who just cracks me up because, maybe I was telling you about this, because every time I describe an improv concept, he almost immediately translates it or asks for clarification in like engineering terms, in like computer science engineering terms is what I think they are, you know? And there've been a couple of times, like, I don't know exactly what particular field these terms come from, but I can tell that it's like, oh, you have translated this into science. Mm-hmm. And there's all these ways to do that with like various improv concepts, you know? I mean, yeah. And it happened the other day where I said something, I was describing the game Convergence, and I said something, and I said, I'm sure that Ryan has already come up with a scientific equivalent of this. And without missing a beat, he was like, right, your endpoints are alive, or something like that. And I was like, right, I'm sure that's accurate. You know, he just already knows it. And it was so funny, and I said in an offhand comment in class yesterday, I was like, Ryan, you and I should write a book, Improv for Engineers. Like, you can, you know, it's like, like, I'll talk about improv concepts, you'll talk about engineering, you'll translate it into engineering. It can be like this cute little philosophy book for engineers.
Brilliant.
And, but I didn't say all that. I just said, Ryan, someday we're going to write a book together. We're going to write Improv for Engineers together. And then it was like offhand, sort of almost under my breath as I was like, okay, two people up, let's go, you know? And the line got a little bit of a laugh, but then yesterday I got an email, and he was like, I mean, do you want to? Basically, he's
sure
like,
he had it all outlined,
he's like, I love writing. I think engineers need it. It would be so fun to partner on this. And I'm like, wouldn't that be fun to do some cute little book that explains these things, but really is talking to a pretty heavy science.
Yeah.
Heavily science-minded community, or engineering-minded community anyway.
What's interesting, I mean, that would be hugely sellable too, not necessarily as a book, but as an avenue into, I mean, if you wanted to be doing business with groups of engineers.
Groups of engineers.
Oh man, that would be the thing. I had somebody approach me similarly about doing a mindfulness class or book for startup entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, how do you translate this? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
I know. And it just sort of arose. I mean, these are the things, right? Is like anytime I get I'm like, I don't know, am I doing, should I be doing something more? You know, this sort of like outside in approach of like, let me think of something cool to do. But it's like something pops up and who knows if we'll actually do anything with it. But it's like, oh, just pay attention.
Yeah.
Things are out in the world for you.
So cool. I think you'll get a long way with Ryan if you just toss in the word algorithm every now and then.
It's so far beyond algorithm. It's so far beyond algorithm, Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know. It's really, I mean, it really is so funny because he'll ask to clarify, he'll like ask to clarify rules in science language. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're going to have to
But I know that like this is your native language, you know, it's just like a real delight.
That's so cool. So, and I love that word language because it really is.
Yeah.
A distinct thing.
Yeah. Just different terms for the same. We can translate, you know, that's what has delighted me so much is that almost every time there's a one-for-one idea on these concepts of these improv concepts.
Yeah.
So I don't know who our audience would be. I don't know exactly, you know, just all the stuff. But it really gave me a fun thought. It was fun to think about.
What you said about, you know, not trying to judge your next steps based on what somebody from the outside would say and like, oh, I have to have a particular mode of going about deciding what I'm going to do. Or
yeah.
Makes me think of something that's been true for me in the last month since we've spoken, which is I have not been putting a ton of energy into, quote, building my career.
Mm-hmm.
I've really been taking some time off. And, you know, maybe we'll get into some of the reasons why later. But it has really been a quieter time for me. And I've been like, I feel like something new is happening. Don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I know that I have been really psyched about is that I've been going further with my puzzle hobby.
Mm.
And so it has taken several different shapes, but you know, what used to be like, oh, I had a small collection. It was like, oh, I would get more and I'd enjoy going shopping has now become like a real,
like a pursuit
hobby slash business. And I have my routines about going out to thrift stores and, a couple weeks ago, I bought a whole bunch of puzzles at an estate sale, and I've been listing those on eBay. And
are they selling?
Yeah. Like this morning before I woke up, checked my phone, like I had 5 new bids on these puzzles I had listed yesterday. It's like, it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But I've also been getting into speed puzzling, and you came and we went to a speed puzzling competition.
This
Maybe we'll
say
more about that.
I mean, what a fun, unexpected thing. Yeah.
But so this, all of this feels like, I don't know where it's taking me, but for now, I'm just following the fun.
I love it.
And following that, like, it feels like something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm developing new skills. I'm developing new friendships, a new community, and new parts of my brain. I don't know. It just feels like something's happening through this process.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm still loving teaching, and I'm still... I delight when I get to work with people on their voice or playful mindfulness, whatever it is. And something seems like it's coming. But sometimes we'll get caught up in there like, you really should be using your time for something more productive. And
capitalism, capitalism, capitalism.
Right.
Your worth is your job.
Yeah.
Your job is your worth.
And then I come back to like, yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. So I'm taking advantage of my 30% off senior discount on Tuesdays at the local thrift store. And there's a new branch of that thrift store opening tonight. They're going to have a special event for members only.
Oh,
I'm going to go check that out.
You
before
are a
it opens.
Member of a thrift store?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I get my 30% discount. So, you know.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But, but we did this competition on Sunday. I was so thankful that you joined in. Was it like crazy for you?
It was a world that I am not steeped in. I've never seen so much puzzle-themed attire in my life.
Right. Did you catch any of the, like, earrings?
Oh, God, yes.
Puzzle earrings?
Yes.
Yeah.
Puzzle earrings, hair clips, socks, I mean, t-shirts, of course.
Of course.
I didn't notice any tattoos, but I'm sure there were some in the crowd.
Mm. Probably. I haven't scoped that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Puzzle people.
Yeah, and
it was fun. It was like, I was like, oh, this is, This is fun. It's fun to just be like, this is what I'm doing. I'm here to do a puzzle. And we're just going to puzzle.
And there were hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
And so, all day thing. Start with a solo competition, and then a pairs competition, and then a quad team competition. My brain was tired at the end of the day.
I bet.
It's like super, super focused. Because normally puzzling is kind of meditative.
Fun and relaxing.
Yeah, focused, but relaxed focus.
Yeah.
And this is like, no, go.
Yeah.
And sort.
Yeah.
You know, but we came in. I mean, I felt like we did pretty well.
Yeah.
I did fine. Our team did fine. All of the winning times were literally less than half of the times that I finished.
Right.
I mean, these people are fast.
But like, yeah. Yeah.
Including my good friend Becca, who was
puzzle queen.
She was puzzle queen for the day. I mean, she came in second in the solo competition, and her team came in first.
In the pairs.
In the pairs, and first in the...
And the teams.
In the team. That's
and she beat that table of heavy puzzle hitters.
Heavy puzzle hitters, yeah. And she was also kind of the organizer in a way, and yeah, so she was...
I mean, there also was this... Like delight in recognizing that there are just whole universes of people and ecosystems that I have no idea about out in the world. And it's like, pick a thing. There's an ecosystem about that thing.
That's right.
Right? So when I sat down and you were like, listen, behind you is Karen of Karen Puzzles YouTube channel. She has quite a following.
She is.
And I was like, well, she's like a celebrity in this room. And she was so like unassuming. But then when she was like, you were like, hey, I saw you taking some videos. And she's like, well, those will be for Patreon. It's not really a main channel video. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, just like. Yeah.
She's got 240,000 followers.
Yeah. It's like. Puzzle World.
Yeah.
So that was also a piece that I really loved. Is like, yeah, let me go visit Puzzle. Like, I'm going to be a visitor in Puzzle World for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. And I like puzzling. So, but I wouldn't, I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't consider myself a puzzler.
Would you consider, going to Nationals?
Like buying a plane ticket?
Yeah.
No.
No.
But I would do that again. Like that was in Redwood City. Right. I would totally sign up for that again if it's like within in a drive, you know, on a drive.
Yeah, I was thinking about organizing one in Woodside, just a little like, almost like an invitational, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And get people to show up at the Woodside
Village
Church.
See if you can like poach people from the other puzzling organization and start a little, you know.
Ooh, a little back and forth.
Start a little business.
That sounds really mindful.
Just see if you can stir some shit up, Ted.
Let's
really disrupt the puzzle world.
Yeah. Give people puzzles that are incomplete.
Yeah. Start charging. You know, it can be like the Saudi golf tournament where they just start taking players.
Oh,
you can start offering.
I will pay you $4 million.
More money for
to come to my puzzle tournament.
Winners.
Really? Oh, I'll think about it. Wow. That would be great.
Yeah.
Check that out. Okay. Well, so that's been going on.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's nice to just relax about what you should be doing.
Yeah. And I recognize that is a very privileged position.
Yeah, completely.
To be able to pause for a bit. And so I acknowledge that. And
yeah,
yes.
that you are not required to hustle.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Live simply. Perhaps, in order to be able to do that.
To pause, yeah.
Yeah.
You're making bank on vintage estate sale puzzles, so.
Yeah, it's a small bank. It's like a savings and loan in rural Iowa, maybe. That's the kind of bank it is. Sometimes I feel like I make good money on the puzzles. I like... Well, I bought that puzzle for $1 and I sold it for $10.
Yeah.
I 10x'd my investment.
Right, right.
But then if I consider the time that it took me to list it and
you're
send
like,
it out.
That was $9
per hour.
Yeah, it's not great.
But every now and then.
But let's not forget the value of joy.
Absolutely. And I love going to the post office and seeing my...
Like post
the guy in the
buddy.
Post is Daniel. I say hi to Daniel every day. He says, see you tomorrow. You know, and most days that's true.
Yeah.
Right. So I love that. I love that part of it. So, right. It's not just about the money, but I often think.
But we do live in a capitalist society.
It would be a more efficient use of my time and work resources to perhaps drum up some regular business, which pays at a higher rate than the puzzling business does.
Yeah. Well, there will be a season for that.
There will be a season. Maybe like winter. But I don't know. Not yet.
Yeah.
It ain't yet.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's cool.
Anything else bringing you joy these days?
I mean, my kid.
Yeah. Tell us about Ramona.
Intense joy. She's so fun. I never know what to say when people say, tell me about Ramona, because I'm like, she's everything. She's so, there's so much going on.
I'll give you a different, I'll give you a frame.
Yeah.
What mindfulness and or improv lessons is she teaching
you? Oh my
you?
God. Okay. So I was just thinking about this because people say, you know, kids are natural improvisers. Mm-hmm. It's true in their complete inhibition and following of their, like, here are the ways that I have found that my kid is a great improviser. She pays really great attention to the world. She notices things because she's not focused on a purpose.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when I'm walking to get to wherever, I'm walking to get there. And I'm like, well, I just got some time to kill in my brain until I get there. But she's like, wow, we're walking. What's around?
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, so filters. Her attention is like, is like incredible. She just notices everything. And she takes time with things that she finds interesting. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. She says no all the time. She just blocks offers left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she means yes, she says no. This little bid for autonomy means like I hold up a fork of avocado and I say, you want some avocado? And she goes, no. And then opens her mouth and eats it. You know?
Interesting.
So it's just like I am practicing having a difference from you. Having a not doing what you want me to do is my interpretation of it. But so I love that she's like, I am ready to find joy in any tiny moment that I'm in.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm reminded of Patricia's sort of boiled down maxims. Patricia Ryan Madsen in a conversation said, I think it all boils down to attention, acceptance, appreciation, and action.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention, accept what's happening, appreciate what's happening, and then move on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's a master at those things.
So how is she a master at the acceptance if she's saying no?
Well, she's not accepting my offers, but like, like out in the world as she's moving around, you know, as she's moving around, it's like, like nothing that she notices is good or bad.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's just like,
is a curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't like loud noises. You know, there's like things that she likes and doesn't like, but, that's pretty cool. I really like that. And it's fun to just go out on a walk with her and see what takes her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to go on a roaming toddler walk, which is like, let's leave the house and see where we go. And sometimes we don't get past the sidewalk because there might be roly-polies there. And so we like sit on the sidewalk and there's these bricks and the planter nearby. And sometimes there's roly-polies under there.
Yeah, there was one time I came up and
we were looking for roly-polies, yeah.
And so, then there were squirrels in the...
In the
telephone box.
In the box. Yeah.
That was like at least half an hour, 45 minutes.
That's the day. You know, that's the afternoon.
Time for a nap.
It's like lovely. It's so fun. So I love that. I love that. You know, it's a constant. With regards to mindfulness, it feels like constant training.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like a constant, like, check yourself. Notice that you are frustrated because she is not doing what you want her to do, but that she does not deserve to be the recipient of your frustration.
Right.
Because she's not at fault here.
Yeah.
Like, your expectations are at fault here, you know? And so...
So being mindful of your own emotional
completely,
reactivity.
Like, right. And then having that moment to like, what do I want to do here?
Lovely.
Like, I am feeling super frustrated. What do I want to do here? What is the experience that I want Ramona to have of this moment and of me in this moment? I don't always do a great job.
Sure.
I don't always do a great job. But I noticed it, especially last night. There was this moment where, you know, she was just in like constant, just like crying mode. I made this dinner and it was on her plate. And she was like, I don't want that, you know? And I I realized, you know, just you're just always caught between, like, oh, well, parenting experts say this, and, well, what lesson are you teaching her if you make a new dinner every time she doesn't want what you feed her, and da-da-da, you know, just like all of this.
Curse of the thoughtful parent.
It's, like, so easy to have this really unhelpful zoomed-out lens of, like, what is the significance of this moment? And then you just get lost in that thing, and it's like, listen, you know your kid. Like, do what this moment is needing you to do, you know? And then if you notice patterns that are happening, then you can do something about them. But it's a lift, you know, it's a heavy lift.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds textbook though. Like, I mean, perfectly done. Not that you're always being how you want to be, but just that notion of, oh, I'm catching myself having a reaction. I'm going to pause, take a breath, slow down, and then make a choice.
Yeah, that's it.
And maybe it's not the right choice in the end. But that moment itself is like when people say, what's my flaw? I'm like, that's it.
That's it. It's just being able to notice what's happening in the moment that it's happening and then make a choice about it.
Right.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah.
Pay attention. Accept it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it and act. Yeah. Right? It's like, okay, you're frustrated, but it's not. She didn't do anything wrong here.
Yeah.
Like, you are mad at the dynamics here, but like, she doesn't deserve that.
Right.
And it's incredibly motivating to have a little human who you care about to have a little human that I care about who is going to be the recipient of all my bullshit if I don't catch myself.
Yeah.
And I don't want that for her.
That's good.
I don't want to give it
right?
to her, you know? So it's incredible motivation to actually get good at that.
Mm. That's trippy.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is great question.
Yeah, cool.
And that's what I would say.
That's neat to watch all that, how all that be emerging.
Yeah, because, and I'm finding that I was actually just thinking about this recently, is like, oh, in order to get better at that, I really should pick up a more consistent mindfulness practice, like a contemplative practice, so that those moments can be a little bit easier for me, or like more within reach, or I can be better practiced at them. And it's so nice to have a really specific goal that I'm training for,
right?
Because I know the benefits, you know, but I don't do it. But to know that, like, this is going to make you a better mom to this person for these moments.
Yeah.
And that is perhaps the most important thing in my life.
Yeah.
Right now is to be the best mom I can be to this person, so that she can be free of my bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the whole point, so I don't give it all to her.
She can be free to take on her own bullshit
as she
wants to.
As she will. And I know that there's no way for me to completely save her from my bullshit, because it's just the water that I swim in. But like, it's how I come, you know?
Yeah.
But if I can handle my stuff so that she doesn't have to figure out, unpack it, handle it on her own later on in therapy, then all the better.
Yeah.
So
it's a nice gift to give.
I think it's the best gift that a parent can give. It's like, you know what? I'm going to handle my stuff.
Right.
So you don't have to handle my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The old put your own oxygen mask on first. I don't know if that applies here, but
I think it does.
It's like, yeah.
I think it does. And so much parenting advice that I'm noticing, that I'm hearing, like, parenting experts, so much of it is about reparenting yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
so much of it is like, oh, you want to know what's happening when you're, what to do when your kid is having a tantrum? Check out your own relationship to emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what messages were you received?
Yeah.
Did you receive as a child about having strong emotions? Were you allowed to be angry? Were you allowed to be sad? Were you told to stop crying? Were you told not here? Like, people are looking, like, whatever it is.
Yep.
All of the messages we get as kids are just the messages we pass on to our kids.
And we keep playing them out.
We just keep playing them out. And so it really is put your own oxygen mask on first. Like, well, the first thing to look at is, how are you showing up in those moments where you don't know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is the extra loading? What's the soundtrack in your mind beyond the facts of what's happening? What's the story you're telling about it?
Yeah.
Handle that so that, you know what I mean?
Like, so you're not coming into the situation with your needs blaring.
Yeah.
The red lights flashing. It's
No,
my needs are fine. Now I can be a little bit more
discerning. Now I can see
discerning.
What's happening.
Yeah. And if I need to be assertive, or like, say, set a boundary, I can do that, but it doesn't have that extra
juice. It's not a reaction.
Juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a reaction.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said about having that relationship provides a motivation, like it catalyzes a motivation, like, okay, I'm going for that.
That's what I'm doing.
It's going to get me up out of bed in the morning. Going to get me focused. Going to, yeah.
Yeah.
And having that pole star.
Yeah.
To go for. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's nice. So it's great. She's the funnest.
Mm-hmm. The.
She's the funnest.
I have noticed that thinking about a pole star, so it's been several months now, but I left a relationship I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the biggest things that shook me the most about that was losing that central focus.
Like grounding.
It was like, oh, that's... even when it was difficult, I was working on that.
It was an organizing. It was like, this is what's up for
this
me.
This is what... This is... Okay, I'm going to work on this, work on this, work on this, see if we can make it better. Do what I need to do. Go get the help I need to get. Try it out. Search inside. Search outside. Make... And then that was gone. It was like... There was still momentum of all the internal turmoil, but not the destination to get to. So it was this time of kind of... confusion, I guess is the word. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on here?
Yeah.
And
it's a disorientation or like unmooredness.
Right. And they're like, oh God, thank goodness I'm out of that. And then, but wait, I missed that. And the swirling back and forth between those two poles.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's taken time to settle, And now it feels like, okay, the organizing principle seems to be fun
mm-hmm.
for now. Or joy, or and following a trail again,
mm-hmm.
sniffing something out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, and letting it be yours.
Yes.
Letting it be in pursuit of pleasing you.
Right.
And in pursuit of like making yourself feel most alive,
mm-hmm.
which I know is a...
And including parts of me where I feel most alive doing something for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like,
yeah.
One of the things, in my past, I would have thought about like, oh, lost a relationship, all this love I'm not getting now that I'm not in a relationship. And I sort of used to think of, what am I going to get out of a relationship? And part of what I realize now is that what I like most about being in a relationship is having somebody to care for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessary that I want to be loved as... Well, it's that too, but it's also wanting to love.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody to love. You know, yeah. just that, like, where can I put this love?
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah, who can I care for?
And having it be that certain thing. So that's a... That's
Are
a
you finding insight. People to care for? Are you finding places to put that love? I mean, you're giving yourself some of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you get to sort of, like, take care of yourself.
That's a great question. I have reconnected more with my family
mm-hmm.
in more... explicit ways. Like I've made an effort to go visit my mom and my dad and my stepmom and my brother and my sister, and I've been reaching out to my friends more. So when I was involved and invested in the relationship, I'd been spending most of my time doing that. Some of it was because of COVID, but like traveling to go see friends and reconnect with friends. But also, yeah, I think I'm looking for places where I can help out if I know somebody's got something going on. You know, how can I participate or
yeah.
contribute or lend a hand?
Yeah.
But not as much as I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just because I'm still tired. Like the transition is taking time. And like, okay, some days I'm like, no, I don't want to help out.
Yeah.
After that puzzle competition on Saturday, usually I'm like, hey, let me help fold the tables, get everything cleaned
up. And you're like, I'm out of here.
I'm like... I'm glad you fold the tables. I'm going to go sit over here in the corner. Someday I'll go back and fold the tables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm finding places to contribute and people to care for. It's not quite the same as being...
No, it's not. You know what I realized? I was talking to somebody recently and I realized that right, I'm in this period of time. My world used to be very, very big, full of very many things. And... COVID and Ramona and relationship happened all simultaneously, mm-hmm. right?
What a big change.
I came out as a different person, came out of the pandemic as a different, different person. The shape of my life was entirely different, like getting used to a completely different rhythm, saying no so much more. Mm-hmm. I'm doing so much so many fewer things. Mm-hmm. I was going to say I'm doing so much less. I'm not. I'm doing a lot because parenting is so many things, but I'm doing fewer gigs, engagements, events, commitments. Yeah. It was scheduled. Like, it's just much, much more streamlined in a way. And I was talking to somebody about how I, you know, how just like having a household, like a home that I share with other people, takes time.
Yeah.
And so even if there's nothing on my books, there's stuff I'm doing. Like, that's why I need to take things off my books, is to, like...
It's more to make space, yeah.
To make space, to do the things that having a household takes. And it's like, well, I had a household when I lived alone. I had a home that ostensibly I wanted to function smoothly, and I had needs, and I had space to clean and stuff to, you know... But I realized I just didn't do any of that stuff. I just didn't do any of it. Yeah, I didn't worry about who, like what I was going to have for... I menu plan now, Ted. We sit down...
I don't even know you anymore.
No, I know.
You menu plan.
We menu plan.
It's not just roasted vegetables?
No, I know how to do more things now. I like...
Yeah, your partner Dave was telling us about a meal you cooked last night.
Give me a break.
That sounds... absolutely phenomenal.
It was amazing. It was so good.
Multiple ingredients, layered, special tools to cook them.
Like, not only multiple ingredients, which I recognize, like, based on what you know of my cooking prowess, is impressive enough, right? That there's more than, like, beets in the oven.
Yeah. This is a new algorithm.
Which once upon a time, like, I just remember that, like, once upon a time, I was like, oh my God, I am proud of myself because I made, number one, a pot of rice. Number two, roasted beets. Number three, scrambled eggs.
Number four, it didn't kill me.
And I'm eating them all on a plate together, and that is dinner.
And it was tasty.
It was great.
Yeah.
No shade at that, right?
Good, good. Don't throw shade.
I think part of it is like living with a partner who cooks.
Mm-hmm.
So like seeing that, learning a little bit more, being home a little bit more, having some more sort of interest in contributing in that way to our family.
Yeah.
Also recognizing that if I don't learn how to cook, he will just do 100% of the cooking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that doesn't feel great also, you know? So I'm motivated to like, okay, like what looks not only delicious, possible for you, you know, like how can you do this? Okay. So I guess that's something I'm learning how to do. I'm like learning how to cook. But last night's meal not only had multiple ingredients, but like they each had to be prepared in a different way. Yeah. It's like, okay. First do the oil and fry up the almonds and salt those and put them aside and chop them once they're cool. Save them because later on you're going to have to add them to this squash filling that is like, a preserved lemon.
I don't even know what a preserved lemon is. I'm learning too.
Yes, a preserved lemon. I chopped it up. It was things I would not, and phyllo dough. Phyllo dough?
Phyllo dough. I don't know. Yeah.
Truly. I don't know how I got off on this tangent, but it was an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm when I hear preserved, it's called preserved lemon.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like preserved in amber, like a
petrified lemon,
like a petrified mosquito from the dinosaur age. Like here's the lemon in this amber.
They're very expensive and they're prehistoric.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the taste they provide.
Incredible.
The tang.
Yeah. The history.
This Tyrannosaurus-like.
The tang.
Well, well done.
Lemons from the Pleistocene.
Yeah.
Pleistocene?
Philo. Pleistocene, Pleistocene. I don't know. Take your guess.
Anyway, all that is to say, I just didn't put any resources in that direction when it was just me. I was like, when I need to eat, I'll figure out what I need to eat. And if I need to go get a burrito, I'll go get a burrito. Yeah. And like, I'm happy to live in relative chaos of my, like, I just, it would like my personality type and all of the other things I had going on. I just did not put resources into managing my own home.
Yeah. I mean, having other people to care for or to be accountable to.
Or just to consider. It's like, exactly. Oh, like I am keeping this home, not just for
it's
me.
It's not just me. Right. I have, now that I'm living on my own again, I have that like a couple times in the last few months I've had a couch surfer come stay.
Mm-hmm.
So couch surfing is this network and people stay in each other's houses and you know, you get vetted. So you Don't, you know, just bring in some like total random stranger. Light. Yeah.
It's like, can I just crash on your sofa?
Yeah. And I have found a couple times that I've had couch surfers come stay. I'm so thankful, partly because the company, they're cool people, but it's like, it gets me motivated. Like,
to clean your place. Yeah.
I don't want them, you know, I don't have to get it sparkling.
Yeah, but.
But it's at least neat and tidy.
Let's make it look like the home that I want to be living in.
Yeah. And then yeah. when I do, like, oh, yeah, this is nice.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
So I'm sort of titrating my
yeah.
couch surfing because I get a lot of requests. But, I, you know, yeah, it's about
not,
time to accept
not to brag, but I get a lot of requests.
It's not me. It's that we're in San Francisco and it's crazy expensive here. And I'm close to the airport and so on and so forth. But
yeah.
Anyway. That's cool. All right. I like those changes.
Yeah.
I like those changes. Anything else coming to mind?
Did I tell you that?
I did know that, but say more. What's exciting you about it?
So much. I mean, it combines so many things that make me feel really alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like sparklingly alive,
mm-hmm.
you know? Cooking a meal for my family, I love. It does not make me feel sparkly.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's alive in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like, artistic excellence, new artistic challenges with people from around the world working together, making something together, like all of that feels so good
mm-hmm.
at a really high level,
mm-hmm.
you know, like working with folks who come from different parts of the world who've been invited, you know, to be a part of this festival. So they're just, so they've caught the attention of the organizers in a way. And I'm excited to meet them. Most of them are unknown to me.
Oh, cool.
Wow. They come from all over the world.
Will you have time to integrate with those folks and
so the,
hang with them?
The format of the festival is that we are brought together. There's like the international cast, and we are brought together to do shows together.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know exactly the details, but I have been cast in a bunch of different shows directed by and acted in with these other folks.
I see. All in English, I presume.
All in English, yeah. And I'm really excited about that. So I will also teach. I'll teach a few hours, but it's a whole week. And so my time will be rehearsing and teaching and performing
mm.
and taking classes, hopefully. Like there'll be time left over to pop into workshops and mm-hmm. stuff and connect with improvisers that I only know because I travel for improv and I haven't done it in a minute. And so I'm really excited about it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Will you take Dave and Ramona with you? You're going to do
no,
this solo.
No, I thought about it, but I'm going to go solo.
Okay.
And there was a little mom guilt that happened in considering that. And then I let that go.
Yeah.
Because I think Ramona will be fine and she'll miss me and I'll miss her and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it'll be traumatic for her.
Yeah.
And my parents are around and they'll help.
Yeah.
You know, they'll take her for a weekend.
It's good to get some sparkle.
Break yeah. And, you know, I think that it's nice just to have a different kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this, and talking about it with Dave, he's like, Lisa, this is one of the things you get to do because of the world you live in.
Right.
So do it.
Yeah.
Like, do it.
Well, and it's a keeping a part of you alive that is...
Totally. That is mine.
So much of who you are, has been who you are, and brings you delight and brings yeah. other people delight and...
Yeah.
It
also feels like it sharpens my game. Like,
yep.
I get to go and learn stuff from other people who I don't normally work with and bring it back. Like, bring yeah. it back and let it enrich my teaching and how I go through things. And, like, that's...
Absolutely.
That's great, you know?
So important. So important as a teacher to keep yourself refreshed.
Yeah.
I took a couple improv classes at BATS here in the city at the end of the summer. First time I'd taken classes in a long time and felt that kind of, like... Oh yeah, my eyes are open again. Like,
was it fun?
It was so fun.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. I'm like shaking off the rust, like getting in there, chipping at the joints and
yeah.
squeezing oil. But you know, I'm still a great critic of improv.
well,
this needs to happen and this needs to happen. And but like getting up on stage and I just found myself, why do I keep taking the action somewhere else?
Uh-huh.
Why do I keep talking about somebody who's not here? I'm trying to do some like intimate banter with the person on stage, but then like I'm always saying something about somebody who's not there.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do that, but like, okay, let me catch that, try something new. And,
yeah.
But we did one of them was playing the games of Keith Johnstone, who I think, passed away since we last did our podcast.
Oh, wow.
One of our teacher, of our teacher.
Our and grand mentor.
Our grand mentor, yeah. So we took, I took a class based on his work, and that was really fun. And then I did a musical improv class.
Great.
We did, we produced a musical.
Oh.
A very short one.
Yeah.
Or did we? Yeah, no, we did. We did.
Cool.
A very short. God, that's so hard, but it's so satisfying when you get it right.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Yeah.
But even getting in there and flummoxing about and just kind of getting on stage and flopping and leaving like, eh.
Yeah.
But it was still doing something, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm intrigued. There's a couple of classes coming up that I might want to take. And again, it was sort of in that theme of like, that's fun. I just want to, what can I learn?
Yeah.
What's new? I just shifted. So I have been doing Duolingo. I was learning French when I was with my French partner. I wanted to be able to speak with her family. Got decent at it. I feel like I can speak French now. I've got a more than 2-year streak on Duolingo.
Wow.
Duolingo just came out with a new course for music.
Whoa.
Learning the language of music. And I was like, well, I could keep my streak alive. And so the last couple of days I've been trying, and it's super basic. Like I know more musically than, you know, what's this note? C, dude, dude.
Yeah.
C, D, dude, you know. Like,
right.
But it feels like I'm just getting, making new connections in my brain. What's new? So that's the mode of like preserve. Okay, I still want to speak French every now and then.
Yeah.
But let me get something new in here. I'm not sure why I got onto that based on what you're saying about it. Amsterdam.
Oh, just doing something that makes you feel alive and learning things.
Learning new
things.
Keeping
yourself sharp.
Yeah, learning new things.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a great, it's a great question to, for me to ask myself regularly. What are you learning? What do you want to learn?
Yeah.
What's an edge? Because I feel more alive when I'm learning something.
Mm-hmm. When I'm going for something.
Yeah.
Working on. What are you working on?
It might even be inconsequential, but at least I'm learning it.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. It doesn't have to be productive.
Right. Ah, coming full circle.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're kind of meandering today, but I think that's okay. We don't have to be
it's
so productive.
It's been a long time. It's nice to just get back. It's just nice to check in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are we now? And we've got another date on the calendar.
Yep.
And so it will not be another 9 months before you hear from us.
It will not be.
Dear listeners.
And it's interesting you say that. I recently went to a service for a young woman. It was an amazing young woman who died suddenly, who was tragically killed by a drunk driver when she was out running. And I went to the service. I didn't know her. I knew her family. And it was just so amazing to see how many people came out to honor this woman and to grieve together. And that reminder, like, you never know what's going to happen. So when you're saying, it won't be another 9 months, she came to mind.
Yeah.
Right? God willing. So yes, God willing, it won't be another 9 months. And then another lesson I got from that service was to love what you love and tell people that you love them.
Yeah.
So it probably is not going to be another 9 months between now and our next episode. And in the meantime, we love you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, it's really a treat to share this with you. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Podcats.
Till the next one.
Bye. For listening, everybody.
So great to have you back.
It is. It's nice to do this again.
Yeah. Thanks for convening. It's fun to just chat. And we started with the environment of the light and the windows and this apartment is like a nice space to be in.
I know. It's good.
I hope that mood permeated for other folks because it's definitely permeated here.
Yeah. It's lovely.
So any thoughts or reflections on the conversation?
Oh, just nice. It just felt like a good little a good, robust check-in.
Mm-hmm. I'm struck by the way that you and I are both changing.
Uh-huh.
And to a large extent, embracing that change and like recognizing, okay, some things aren't going to be how they were before.
Yeah.
And okay, what comes next?
Yeah.
Right.
How do I do this bit?
Yeah, and that the improvisational way we approach life helps with that. Mm-hmm. And then also I heard several instances of really trying to tune into our emotions. I think that, I don't know if you think it's true for you because you mentioned it, but for me, for sure, mindfulness practice has recently turned more towards emotional intelligence. And like, oh, these things are just stirring all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard that in the conversation as well.
Yeah.
Like a mindful emotional practice.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of what I think mindfulness is best for.
Hmm. Well, that's a good, that might be a good question for a future podcast.
Okay, great.
What's mindfulness best for?
We'll tease that question.
I'm intrigued with what you said about Ramona and like, what does her way of living show us about what's good about mindfulness too?
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. Interesting.
Cool.
So, all right, anything you want to let people know about?
Oh, just that if you're local to the San Francisco Bay Area, we got musical holiday vignettes on Saturdays in December called The Good, the Bad, and the Jolly.
Okay.
Directed by yours truly, acted in by yours truly. So come and check them out. That's improv.
Yours truly is you.
That's right.
Oh.
I am yours truly.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, what's this format?
It's short stories between one and four scenes long, interwoven with surrounding themes about the holidays that we get from the audience in a pre-show chat.
Oh, cool. That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And this is, for those of you who are listening at some future time, we're recording this in early November of 2023.
That's right.
So if you hear this in 2025...
You missed it.
You missed it.
There's other shows to come see.
But if it's still 2023, get on it. Come see a show. I don't have anything particular to mention to folks, unless you're looking for puzzles.
He's got a lot of puzzles.
Check out Teddy DMZ on eBay. or if you want a copy of the book Playful Mindfulness, go to playfulmindfulness.info. It makes a great gift any time of year, but particularly the holiday season.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
All right.
We'll see you next time, everybody.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you next time.
To be continued, and many blessings to you. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.